Some of us were probably born in the 80s. Something happened in our country that had been brewing for a little while, kind of bubbled up, and then got pretty pronounced in the late 80s and early 90s. There was a huge amount of protests against the manger, having a manger scene in a public school or a place where separation of church and state and all that started to really come to the forefront. It's not that it didn't exist before, that's not true. But it started to ramp up there in the late 80s. Or maybe it's just because, you know, I became aware of the culture around me when I was a teenager rather than a child just enjoying everything. I mean, it very well could be that. And then it ramped up real hard in the 90s where it spilled over into other things. Early 2000s, same deal. I mean, they were atheists and other organizations from Wisconsin that are just suing everybody, whoever says anything about God in the public square. They wanted to take In God We Trust off of our money not too long ago and that kind of stuff. You know, it's just been there, okay? But maybe it's me and my blissful ignorance or whatever. For the past few years, it's kind of quieted down a little bit. You don't see it as much in the news. You don't hear it. Maybe they're not covering it. I mean, a couple years ago, we had our own experience here. You know, it was kind of tough and tough time for us, infertile. And you know, I think we waded through that fairly well. But it did kind of calm down where you didn't hear it. You didn't see all the protests, you know, during Christmas and Easter. Usually comes around Easter time too, just really harsh. And then 2018 came back with a vengeance. Vengeance. I don't know if you follow the news daily. I'm kind of a junkie. Okay, I got to work on that. I really do. Spend way too much time on that garbage. But some of the things that have happened recently, within the last month. Maybe you're aware of them, maybe you're not, but I'm going to make you aware of them for a particular reason. Did you know, maybe you knew, that the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special was run aground as racist? Because the one character of color, Franklin, in the dinner scene is seated by himself on a lawn chair on one side of the table and all the white characters are on the other side. And the Twitter universe went crazy as to Charlie Brown being a racist, crazy, we can't watch this anymore, I'm going to protest, I'll never watch it again. Because, you know, I mean, listen, a dog cooked Thanksgiving supper. I don't think this is really, you know, anyways, I'm sorry. But, I mean, maybe they have a point, maybe they don't. But if they would have gone back to Charles Schulz and asked him about this, you can't now, because it was actually a civil rights discussion with a teacher that Charles Schulz made them put Franklin in to his comic strip to fight racism, not to promote it. But here we are, 2018, back with a vengeance in the minorest details. I'm just getting warmed up. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but did you know that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation stop action animated, you know, Clarice, he thinks I'm cute. My favorite scene, it's awesome. I'm cute. She said I'm cute. Let's be independent together. I could just go on and on. This fog is as thick as peanut butter. Don't you mean pea soup? You eat what you like and I'll eat what I like. Yukon Cornelius. Anyways, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is not only racist, Huffington Post, but it's misogynistic. Okay, the hatred of women, is there. It also promotes bullying because they wouldn't let him play in any reindeer games in the phrases, and it's exploitive. Santa Claus, for his own benefit, exploits Rudolph's red nose for his capital gain. Christmas. This is real. This is not a joke, people. I mean, it's not. They might have tried to pass it off as a joke later, but when they posted it originally and put it on there, no, it's not a joke. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Don't let your kids watch it. It promotes racism, misogyny, bullying, and exploitation, capitalistic exploitation. Okay? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. How about the radio station in Cleveland that will no longer play Baby It's Cold Outside? Because that promotes forced intimacy. You know, because the two characters in there are, I got to go home, no, you need to stay, you know, let's be warm inside together, you know, that it's promoting forced intimacy. Adults, you get the picture? A song is promoting, baby, it's cold outside. Sorry, if you like the movie Elf, you got to delete that scene. Will Ferrell cannot be singing that in the ladies' bathroom. Sorry. Baby, it's cold outside. Gone. Gone. Here's my favorite. Back with a vengeance. This week, in Nebraska. Maybe you read about this. Maybe you saw this. Maybe you didn't. A principal had a list of things that could not be participated in school. One of the things that the teachers in an internal memo were prohibited from doing or using, I mean, it was all kinds of stuff, really. I mean, they couldn't put a Christmas tree in. They couldn't do anything with carols. They said, please don't even put a tree up inside your room. Can't use reindeer, which would take out half of our decorations, okay? So, I mean, I don't know if you saw that on Facebook, but that's really cool what you teachers are doing. It's awesome, okay? All rich for Oregon. Good job. Awesome. Awesome job. Everybody else, too, but, I mean, those two are here. So, you cannot give out a candy cane. In the internal memo, the principal said it's in the shape of a J, which stands for Jesus. Christians believe that the red is a symbol of Christ's blood and white is a symbol for the resurrection, which we have shared with our release time kids for many years about the candy cane. Somehow that internal memo leaked and the principal apologized for the leak of the memo. No candy canes in Nebraska. Told you, back with a vengeance. Critical political correctness run amok. Can't say anything without somebody being offended. Maybe you think that some of these examples are far away and extreme, and you brush them off as unimportant. 'Tis the season. It's okay, because in my house, we still celebrate that. We celebrate Christ in those things. And maybe, if it was one or two incidences, we could do that. But those are just some of the really popular ones. Those are some of the ones that get play and, you know, shared and other things. Collectively, you put them all together, and we have an issue as followers of Christ, as lovers of God. We live in a world in rebellion against Him. And in opposition to anything that stands for Him, like a candy cane. She wouldn't even let them use candy canes of different colors. They couldn't go to Dollar General and get the ones that taste like Oreos, which don't really taste like Oreos, but they're pretty close. Just so you know. Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passage to us. I'd be willing to bet that somewhere some of this is quoted in our Christmas program. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's usually there. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appears to them standing there in front of them, and they become terrified, shaken in their boots. These outdoorsmen, shepherds who fight off wolves and bears and lions and other things to keep the flock safe, especially this flock, most likely a flock of sacrificial sheep, being that close to Jerusalem, most likely. The angel shows up, and these men are terrified, and they say, "Fear not." The one angel says, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then a whole bunch of angels show up and praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men, with whom He is pleased." Praising God and saying. Mozart put that to music. Handel put that to music beautifully. Handel's Messiah. We sing beautifully songs of praises. A few verses later, the shepherds go and they check out. They find Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and they tell everybody that's there to listen about what happened, the angels and their song, what they said, what they sang. Everybody's amazed, celebrating, wondering what's going on, beside themselves with awe and wonder. Mary, who got visited by an angel herself, not only participates in all of that, but she internalizes them, the news. It's not just information that she files somewhere that says that she ponders them in her heart and she treasures them. It's a very valuable thing for her. And then the shepherds leave, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, for the things that were told to them. Praising God. Praise. What does it mean to praise? What does it mean to praise God? Well, the words that are used here in the text are ascribed only to God in the text. Wherever you see this word around, they don't praise men. They don't praise government. They don't praise institutions. They praise only God. Keep your finger here and turn with me to the Hebrew root of this in Psalm 33. Keep your finger in Luke and go back to Psalm 33. Just the first three verses of a very beautiful psalm. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Sing for joy in the Lord. Praise is becoming to the upright. What that phrase means is that it looks good on those who are upright to be singing praises, to be praising Almighty God. It fits. It's something that should be a part and parcel of the upright's character and being. We who are followers of Christ, who have trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord, it is right. It fits us. It looks good on us. It is appropriate for us to sing our praises to God with joy. How many of you like to sing? Even if it's privately, you know, nobody else can hear you. Yeah, I like singing solos, right? Solo that nobody can hear me, right? It's all right if you can't carry a tune. Maybe music isn't your thing. However, we are called to praise God. And very often in Scripture, not exclusively, it is attended by music, skillful music, music that stirs our hearts. I saw a video yesterday. I forget what social media I was on. But there was a study done of dancing, actually. You know, maybe you're having a tough day or whatever, and you're not feeling good or whatever. Something's going on at work or whatever. They said, get in your kitchen when you're preparing supper, put on some music, and just start moving, start dancing. And we can't help but feel better when we move. Okay? You don't want to see me dance either. Okay? However, I will say this about all of the girls, all of them. Here's the misogyny coming out at me from Charlie Brown. I learned this from Charlie Brown. So all of the girls, I'm sorry, that was a really bad joke. I'm not really misogynistic, okay? So I love women. I married a woman. All of the girls at Lakeshore Central High School at school dances know how to do the Charlie Brown dance. Okay, if you ever watch that, the girls in the Charlie Brown, you know, when they're doing their music, it's just... Okay, so my wife would have appreciated that, but maybe not. She knows how to do it. It's a pretty good one. Okay, back to the sermon, sorry. But dance, movement, music, it brings joy, and it should. Okay, we probably all have that era of music that we really like, that style of music that, you know, is on our radios at in the car, whatever it is. I mean, you know, right now, 97.9 with all their Christmas Share-a-thon and all that stuff, the Christmas music, and they're not just playing Christians, people. I mean, they're playing everybody, and it's just good stuff, Christmas music. You know I like carols. I mean, and it drives, you know, our pianists and people crazy. Because we could be doing this all. We could sing Joy to the World every Sunday. I'd be all right. Better than 10,000 Reasons. No, that's an old joke. But music, songs, singing praises. Why would this be something you and I focus on during Advent? Last week, we took a look at gifts, presents, things that we get, and the anticipation of opening them and the hope that maybe it causes in us that, you know, we're getting something that our heart's desires and those kinds of things, and how hope is alive in our heart because of the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. And so it's right for us to focus on that particular issue during Advent because Christ brings our hope. And he was given presents by the Magi of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and all have their meanings and all that stuff, and, you know, help them get to Egypt. You know, God provided. It's a wonderfully theological presence, but it gives us hope. And so now we're here with the shepherds. The angels in verse 13 are praising God, and the shepherds in verse 20 are praising God, saying the things, glorifying God. But what about when life doesn't go right? What about when things kick us in the teeth or punch us in the gut, or, you know, there's some circumstances that just aren't right and we know it. We live in a world that isn't right. Charlie Brown had his troubles. Oh, he had his troubles, didn't he? Poor kid. Picked that lame tree out, brought it back, thought he did a good job, and everybody said, "I knew you would blow it, Charlie Brown. You're hopeless. Told you we shouldn't have sent him, you blockhead." Well, we all know Lucy said that, right? And then he asks the question, what's the true meaning of Christmas? And Linus tells him, which we'll be watching before the end of this sermon series because I just love that clip. Charlie Brown had his trouble. He had his bullies, he had his detractors. God could never win. What about Rudolph? What about Rudolph? He was different. He had a nose that glowed. They wouldn't let him play at recess. All he wanted to do was play at recess. All he wanted to do was be a part. And instead, they found something to pick on him for, and they picked on him mercilessly. Even the adult in the scene, one of Santa's trusted reindeer, coached the kids to not let Rudolph participate. Talk about bullying. Trouble. Bitter life experience. Life wasn't going right. What about those kids in Nebraska? The crazy, illogical, we just think they're not normal. I mean, we're mostly normal. There's most of us out here, but the squeakiest wheel gets the most grease, right? All you got to do is protest a little, and it just carries weight, as long as you're anti-something. I worked in an industry, a textile industry, and there were about 8 of us that did this one operation, and we had this particular machine that did this operation, and it was a great machine, and we could do a lot of pieces. It was piecework, so you got paid pretty well, but there was one young guy who wanted to make a lot of money, so he turned up his temperature, and it made the machine, the pad that was on the machine, separate from the glue, and it melted, and then the textiles got all messed up and everything, and they kept turning it down. They told us, don't turn the temperature up. The kid kept turning the temperature up, and ruining his machine. The mechanics were there week after week, day after day, trying to fix that kid's machine. You know what their solution was? They locked us all down. They put a lock, one of those things, piece of plastic, so we couldn't touch the temperature of the machine. And they slowed them all down so we couldn't produce above a certain rate. Because of one kid, one young kid who wanted to make money. Didn't care that he wrecked his machine, didn't care that the rest of us were all, the squeakiest wheel gets the most grease. What about those kids in that Nebraska school? Well, beloved, what I'm suggesting, what I think the text suggests, what I know God wants us to do when life doesn't go right, turn towards seeing things by faith through Christ. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Almighty God became man in human flesh in the city of David, and that is the best news of all. Forever and ever, amen. There isn't going to be a better news story. There isn't going to be something that is above that when it comes to good tidings of great joy. When life isn't going right, turn towards God who has given us good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Scripture says. I'm also suggesting that you and I remind ourselves and each other daily of that fact. How can you remind yourself? Well, this is the time of year. It's okay maybe to be walking around the house humming Christmas carols. Maybe, going into Hardware Hanks again and listening to KFNW because it's going to be on and they're going to be singing Christmas carols. Come on. Me and you, we'll show up there tomorrow about 11 o'clock. We'll start singing with the radio. Me, you, and Gary. Come on, we'll do it, right? Let's do it. For every customer that comes in, let's do it. Gary's got a good voice. He can carry us. I know he will, right? I don't know about dancing, though. We don't want to be doing dancing. Remind ourselves daily of the good news of great joy. Because in this world, we have trouble. We have those bitter moments. We have the bullies. That's not going to go away. There isn't any hand sanitizer that's going to make that stop. But there is good news of great joy. And He can change the hearts and minds of people. He can convict them of their sins. He can give grace so that they might grow in grace. And we can be comforted. And so, you and I are called to sing our praises unto God. In Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 reads this way. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things. It's something that is upright, befitting. Praise is befitting to the upright. Singing songs of great joy that bring us joy, music, praising God, is befitting. And we are to speak to one another that way. We are to do that. So what's your favorite? Seriously, I'm asking. I mean, it's not raise your hand. But Christians can get their buns in a knot, their noses out of joint so quickly towards the commercialism of the season. I mean, that's Charlie Brown, when he says, I'm not going to fall victim to the commercialism of this season. And I agree. Jesus is the reason for this season. The greatest present is in the manger under the tree. Totally. Absolutely. But when we get our noses out of joint because the world doesn't follow along with that, we're forgetting. We're missing the good news of great joy. Yeah, we got to stand up. But we stand up not without joy. We don't stand up as if we've been eating Sour Patch Kids all day long. That's for kids after the 70s. Or like your mom's going to give you castor oil or cod liver oil for something. That's for the kids before. So what is it? Do you like Jingle Bells? I mean, the old version, the whole thing talks about riding in the one horse open sleigh and finding someone to share it with. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Don't you like that? Doesn't that lift you a little bit away in a manger? What about you who maybe aren't such the verbal kind? Okay? I know some of you have seen Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I mean, you probably have that playing in your house somewhere, or maybe even some old school Mannheim Steamroller. I mean, that's just some good instrumental right there. I mean, you know, you put that on when you're making, you know, I don't know, lefse or something, and I don't know, you know, you put it on when you're making lefse, you're moving around a little bit, you know, you're rolling with a little joy, a little wiggle on the, you know, you got your... I hope so. I hope music does that to you. I hope that we praise God. Oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. And then at the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas special, while the credits are rolling and the kids are all there after restoring Charlie Brown's lame little tree, he's beside himself with joy, not believing that it could happen. And all those people, all those kids who were just a few minutes before so mean to him, when confronted by the true meaning of Christmas, when seeing what they had done, when watching Charlie Brown lament over the Christmas tree and his bitter circumstances, restore that tree and decorate it with the star, and he's beside himself, they all are humming, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." He shows up, and then they, in unison with the cartoon, you know, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown," and they start singing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." That's this passage. This is this passage set to music, to lift our hearts, to focus us on God, to move in an area of praise to our King. So last week we did hope, and it was about presents. This week we did joy, good tidings of great joy, by singing, because it is befitting for the upright to do so. Next week we'll move on to what? Joy or peace, or love or peace. Can't wait to see what the Lord does there. But this week, let's sing. We come before the Lord together as his people with our praises and prayer requests. I have received a number of them. What we have here...